The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Sowa
and Baba Otu.
In the headlines, Electoral Commission welcomes proposals for reforms but kicks against calls for legal backing to the Interparty Advisory Committee. ICU urges government to urgently take steps to tackle hydra-headed industrial challenges. Nana Akufo-Addo embarks on series of thank you tours. Youngest Arab woman reaches summit of world's highest mountain, Mount Everest. Frontrunner in race for chief executive of U.S. Central Bank, Larry Summers, withdraws candidacy and seeded African teams, including Ghana Black Stars, to no opponents after today's Brazil 2014 playoffs draw in Egypt.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The Electoral Commission has refuted allegations by some political parties that the Commission does not officially communicate to them when it calls for IPAC meetings. The Acting Director of Public Affairs of the Commission, Christine Owusu-Parry, who stated this on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, said the Commission has never said anything in the media concerning IPAC meetings without first communicating to the parties. Mr. Parry welcomed proposals from the political parties for reforms. This, he noted, will help make the electoral system acceptable to all stakeholders. He, however, cautioned against calls aimed at giving legal backing to IPAC. This, he said, has the tendency of undermining the functions of the Commission, which Article 46 of the Constitution has given to the Commission.
The NPP received that communication on the 6th. The NDC received it 12:43 on the 6th. The CPP 12:55 on the 6th. So if somebody says, oh, we didn't show any regard for them, we disrespected them, and we didn't communicate to them, we only learned about it from the media, that is most unfortunate, because that is not the way we do things at the Commission, especially because we value our relationship with them. Now, as a Commission, we have always said that we will welcome any suggestions that will lead to improvement in the electoral process. And that is why when after the elections and there was the court petition, people were talking about reforms. So we thought that it would be necessary for us to give people who are calling for reforms the opportunity to make their ideas known. Probably they have some useful ideas why, and that is why they are saying we need reforms. So we will give them the opportunity for them to bring their proposals, and we will consider those proposals. If the proposals that they make actually fall within the legal framework of the elections, they will lead to improvement in the process, we will consider those proposals. But obviously, if the round counter to the laws that govern elections in this country, then we'll have some difficulty in bringing them on board. People who say IPAC should be given legal backing so that its decision becomes binding on the Commission probably have not addressed their minds to Article 46 of the Constitution. That requires the independence of the Commission, and says that in the performance of its duties, the Commission should not be subject to the direction and control of any other organization or body or authority. If you have to make IPAC decisions binding on the Commission, and IPAC is made up mainly of the parties and the Commission, what happens in the event that there is no consensus at IPAC? It means no decision can be taken.
Mr. Parry also explained the biometric verification process.
You know, verification goes with identification of the voter at the polling station. And it's a process. It's not just one point verification. First, we would want to know whether you are on a alphabetical name list. That will indicate to us that, yes, it is possible that you'll be in the voters register. When we find you on the alphabetical name list, then you move to the register clip table where your particulars are checked. We are looking at your voter ID card and your picture in the register. That is a form of identification of the voter, and it's verification as well. When you are satisfied that yes, you can be found on the register, then we will scan your barcode and the photographs and the other details about you will pop up. So we will then ask you to put your finger on the verification device. So the verification device is only the last stage of the verification. If the device corrects you, then we will allow you to vote. And insofar as we are concerned, everybody who voted who was not FO actually went through that process. So when the person has been verified and the device has cleared him, then we allowed the person to vote. Nobody whose fingerprint could not be read by the device was allowed to vote.
Representatives of both the NDC and NPP on the program mentioned reforms they need the EC to undertake. First, MP for Ekuyapim South, Obi Amoa of the NPP, said concerns raised by the justices of the Supreme Court should be looked at.
Justice Duke believes that there should be severe sanctions for presiding officers, electoral officers, who infringe on the law and then pay this kind of confusion that we had the last elections with respect to their performance, the signing of the pin sheets, etc. We also believe that we should have security features for the pin sheets, for the all those forms that the EC will use, so that there will not be this kind of duplicate, etc., etc. If you go to what Justice Atikba said, that within 3 months of the closure of the registration exercise, there should be a provisional register. Unfortunately, the EC could not abide by that and come the rest of itself. It took the EC only about a few days before the rest of itself to give us the register. Now, all the justices made the point that if we have to go forward, there are a lot of things that have gone wrong during the last elections. We have to find ways of refining them and reforming them. If you come to us, one major issue that we think that we should all sit down to have a look at is the transmission, collation and transmission of results.
NPP MP for Ekuyapim South, Obi Amoa. For his part, a member of the election management team of the NDC, Michael Kumbuo, emphasized the need to give enough training to election officials and polling agents of the political parties.
The flaws we also identified were the training of the officials, the training of the officials that man the election, either party agents or EC temporary staff. We realized that it's a challenge because if you don't have enough time to train them, you don't expect that they will give you the best of results. Then we also realized that we needed to look at even the way we organize the elections from the polling station, because if you go to the polling station as an agent, you don't have the right, like we are sitting here, you have officials standing here, the polling agents are far away from where the officials are, so you don't see exactly what is happening. So we are advocating that the position of the polling agent should be such that they should be able to see what is happening, so that there are no fictitious happenings within the process.
A member of the election management team of the NDC, Michael Kumbuo.
The Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU, has urged government, policymakers, and managers of the economy to take urgent steps to solve challenges confronting the industrial sector, especially the private ones. In a statement signed by its General Secretary, Solomon Kote, the ICU said the situation, if not tackled with dispatch, is likely to impact seriously on the economy. We bring you the details.
According to the ICU, the challenges bedeviling the private sector are enormous and paints a gloomy picture. It said employers are complaining bitterly about threats to their survival, with some of them threatening to close down their businesses. The statement said, ICU, as the largest labor union in the country, organizing more than 75,000 employees, including those in the informal sector, it has found itself in an unfortunate situation. in order to stop businesses from shutting down, it has had to suspend salary negotiations and the review of other conditions of service of employees on numerous occasions. According to the ICU, currently, it is struggling to appreciate threats from employers to embark on redundancy exercise to trim down their workforce. It's noted that the unbridled open market economy in Ghana has in one way or the other compounded the situation of the local industry. It said it is sad the country has opened its borders and ports too wide for undeserving foreign goods, such that all kinds of products are being imported into the country. The union therefore suggests to government to take practical steps to ensure growth in small-scale industry. Special attention must also be paid to the major companies as they struggle to survive.
That was a statement issued by the ICU on challenges bedeviling the small-scale industry sector.
The Volta Regional Minister, Nila Yafuteagbu, has called for a paradigm shift in the country's development strategy by promoting local resource mobilization instead of depending on donor support with its attached strings. He therefore called on stakeholders to take pragmatic decisions that will enhance local resource mobilization towards the country's economic development. Nila Yafuteagbu made the call in a speech read for him at Tegbi at the second stakeholders meeting of the Municipal Assembly. Our Volta Regional Correspondent Koblali Kukubo was there for Radio Ghana.
The stakeholders meeting was instituted in 2009 to create a forum for citizens of Anglo State to deliberate on prominent issues that affect the area and find workable solutions to enhance the area's socioeconomic development. This meeting is the second since the institution of the forum. The Volta Regional Minister, Nila Yafuteagbu, noted that the ever-increasing population, the complexity and shrinking resources, coupled with the impact and effect of globalization, has become clear that government alone will not be able to provide for the social and economic needs of its people. He commended the organizers of the meeting and urged them to develop pragmatic agenda that will benefit their people. Ni Afoteagbu observed that the Anglo State is endowed with a lot of resources which need to be exploited to the benefit of its people, but this could be achieved by firstly developing the human resource. The Volta Regional Minister also lauded the culture of the people of Anglo, which makes them hardworking and forthright. He, however, called the stakeholders to use the forum to improve upon such cultural values and use them to promote dialogue and socioeconomic development, even as they work to eradicate the obnoxious ones. The Awomefia of Anglo Tugby 3 called on all citizens to bring their knowledge, experiences and resources on board to expedite the development of their motherland. He stressed that the era where Ghanaians position themselves as suppliers of raw materials to the industrial world should be a thing of the past. Tugby 3 therefore called on all to consider the establishment of agro-industries in the area, particularly for canning fish and vegetables. The Awomefia appealed to all to contribute towards his education fund.
Kobla Ali Kukubo's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Electoral Commission welcomes proposals for reforms but kicks against calls for legal backing to Inter-Party Advisory Committee. ICU urges government to urgently take steps to tackle Hydra-headed industrial challenges. Nana Akufo-Addo embarks on series of thank you tours. Youngest Arab woman reaches summit of world's highest mountain, Mount Everest. Front runner in race for chief executive of U.S. Central Bank, Larry Summers, withdraws candidacy. And seeded African teams, including Ghana Black Stars, to no opponent after today's Brazil 2014 playoffs draw in Egypt. Do stay with us.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. The 2012 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has expressed gratitude to executives and sympathizers of the party in the Greater Accra region for their support for the party and its presidential and parliamentary candidate during the 2012 elections and the subsequent election petition at the Supreme Court. He expressed the gratitude during the first in the series of thank you meetings arranged by the party to thank its core supporters for the various roles they played in the 2012 electioneering, the presidential election petition, and their support and prayers. He said since the 2012 election is over, what is necessary at the moment is to look ahead to 2016 for the party to ensure that it meets all the conditions for victory in that year. He appealed for unity and urged the NPP to ensure that as it conducts the various internal elections, the party is not torn apart. Nana Akufo-Addo asked critics who accused the national executives of imposing him on the party. He said the NPP has never been about the cult of personalities and that since 1992, there had been three presidential candidates, Professor Dubuahin, John Ajikum Kufo, and himself. He said each one of them was elected by democratic means and whoever would be elected for 2016 will go through the same process. Nana Akufo-Addo has since left the country and mandated his running mate, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, to represent him at the various meetings to convey his gratitude to party faithful.
A leading member of the NPP, Philip Kwamna Langdon, has appealed to the rank and file of the party to stop discussions in the media on who leads the party in 2016. He said the party has structures and schedules which must be followed. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Langdon said the practice, if continued, will not help build party unity and cohesion. He spoke to George Ankra.
It's not confusion as such. It's just that people are happy that lead petitioner has accepted the verdict and urge all his supporters to respect the verdict no matter how they feel about the verdict, which is very commendable. We've seen many people go and commend him, and I think it's good. And we've seen some members of the party also go on to urge the lead petitioner to stand again for the next election. There's nothing wrong with it. But it appears that some of those calls are going a bit too far. Some of the people making the calls are not the kind of people who should make the calls. National executives, by the constitution of our party, are not supposed to get involved in such things. What has to happen is that when it is time to pick flag bearer, the rules are spelled out for everybody, the level playing field is provided, and all those who want to go for the position step forward, and then everybody backs who they want to back. Whoever imagines, we all back the person. But the way things are going now, it's not the way it should go.
I hear reports getting to the police from some of your officers who are being threatened by their own MPP people. One is at a loss as to why a democratically functional tradition as the MPP should be experiencing this sort of thing now.
I'm very embarrassed about some of these things that are going on. In the past, our party has been at the forefront of fighting for people who have been abused by such authorities. Other parties that were autocratic and persecuted some of their members. Our tradition has been at the vanguard of supporting such people. So I feel very embarrassed that there are some elements in my party who want to behave like this. I want to personally condemn those actions of those people. These are the actions of some overzealous supporters. It is criminal and unacceptable.
Are we running faster than we think? I hear some people talking of Alan Tremonti to come in now. I hear people saying they should support Nana Akufo-Addo to go. I hear others also saying that the party should be reorganized and rebuilt or strengthened before 2016. We are far away from 2016. Why are we in that haste?
After every election, what we do is start having our program of elections, starting from the polling station through constituency, regional, and then national. After that, we go for the flag bearer. And then after the flag bearer, we all support the individual and then pursue the next election. That is what's happening in the party. But because of the petition, it has thrown that program a little out of course. And what some have called for is that let us go back. And of course, the National Executive Committee had a meeting and actually stipulated a certain roadmap where we would expedite these elections before we finally choose the flag bearer.
A leading member of NPP, Philip Kwamna Langdon, in that interview with George Ankra.
Ghanaians have been asked to let justice rule in all aspects of their lives. When this happens, peace will naturally come without any effort. The Nungwa District Minister of the Presbyterian Church of Ghana, Reverend Ebenezer Olenu, said this at the send-off service for Reverend Obodai Anan at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church at Nungwa, a report by Rita Nyaku.
Reverend Olenu said Christians, especially those in leadership positions, must not think about the world they would acquire, but what they can do to contribute to the progress of the country. He said young ministers of God should not be anxious about making money, adding that there are many such pastors who have entered into the deliverance service just for the gain of it. Reverend Olenu advised the youth not to rush in life, but allow God's purpose to reign, to put them in the proper position they aspire for. The outgoing minister of the Emmanuel Presby Church, Reverend Obodai Anan, said Christians must streamline their behaviors and characters in line with the teachings of Christ so that they can serve God better. He had this advice for his fellow ministers.
It is not what I get from the ministry that matters, but what I put in, the resources that I put in, the energy that I'm putting to transform people's lives. So my caution to ministers is that they should not aim at getting material gain. The ministry belongs to God. It's I will feed you and look after you from the beginning. I didn't get any allowance, but I was sacrificed. I had the joy that now I'm fulfilling the purpose of God to serve the people. So the one who has called you, he knows our needs and is prepared to help us to overcome the temptations and the tests that we get.
You heard the outgoing Reverend Minister of the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church at Nungwa ending that report by Rita Nyaku.
And on the foreign front, a Saudi woman has made history by reaching the summit of the world's highest mountain, Mount Everest. Raham Muharak, 25, not only became the first Saudi woman to attempt to climb the mountain, but also the youngest Arab to make it to the top. She's part of a four-person expedition that also includes the first Qatari man and the first Palestinian man attempting to reach the summit. They are trying to raise $1 million for education projects in Nepal. Ms. Muharak is a university graduate currently based in Dubai, coming from Saudi Arabia where women's rights are restricted. Ms. Muharak is said to have broken a lot of barriers to achieve her goal.
French President Francois Hollande has described the U.S.-Russia deal on serious chemical weapons as an important step towards the much bigger goal of a political solution to the civil war. In a televised address, President Hollande, however, said the military option must remain. He added that a vote on a new U.N. Security Council resolution on Syria could be agreed on by the end of the week.
Former U.S. Treasury Secretary Larry Summers has withdrawn his candidacy to succeed Ben Bernanke as head of the U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve. In a letter to President Barack Obama, Mr. Summers said any confirmation process for him is likely to be acrimonious. Mr. Summers was one of the front runners for the post, along with current Federal Vice Chairman Janet Yellen. Mr. Obama said he has accepted Mr. Summers' decision. One of the largest and most daunting salvage operations ever attempted is set to begin today with an attempt to pull the shipwrecked Costa Concordia vessel upright. 32 people died when the cruise ship hit rocks off the Tuscan island of Giglio in January last year. It has been lying on its side ever since. The Italian Civil Protection Agency said the sea and weather conditions were unsuitable for the attempt. Engineers have never tried to move such a huge ship so close to land. Salvage workers are attaching giant metal chains and cables to the ship, which may weigh more than 114,000 tons and is roughly the length of three football fields. Five people have already been convicted of manslaughter over the disaster, and the ship's captain, Francesco Schettino, is currently on trial, accused of manslaughter and abandoning the ship.
The senior national football team, the Black Stars, would later today sign out their opponents in the final playoffs for the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil. In all, 10 teams have qualified for the playoffs, and today's draw will see them being paired for a two-leg qualifier on a home and away basis. Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, Algeria, and Tunisia have been seeded and will be in Pot 1 and will therefore avoid each other. The other teams are Senegal, Egypt, Cameroon, Ethiopia, and Burkina Faso. 5 African teams will qualify for the Brazil World Cup, apart from Ethiopia and Senegal. All the other teams have played at the World Cup before. The Black Stars are expected to go past the opponent and make a record-breaking third consecutive appearance in the World Cup. Ghana first qualified for the World Cup in 2006 in Germany and were the only African country to progress to the 16th stage. The Black Stars again qualified for the 2010 World Cup in South Africa and got to the brink of a semi-final berth but lost out to Uruguay on penalties. Ghana had a penalty in the last minute of the extra time after the Uruguayan striker Luis Suarez handled a goal-bound header by Dominic Adia just before it crossed the goal line. However, striker Samwajan missed the resulting penalty.
And still on football, defending league champions Kumasi Asante Kotoko began their title defense on a brighter note in their opening match of the 2013-2014 Globe Premier League after coming from a goal down to beat former champions Ediana Stars by 2-1 at the Sunyani Coronation Park yesterday. Striker Seydou Bansi and midfielder Jordan Opoku got the victory for the Porcupine Warriors. At the Bekwai Park, former champions Accra Hearts of Oak stunned Homestead's New Adubiasi by 2-0. Striker Emmanuel Hayford got a brace for the Phobians in the 67th and 72nd minutes to become the first striker to bag goals for week one of the Globe Premier League. Debutant Inter Allies suffered a 2-0 defeat at the hands of Ebusian Dwarfs in their own backyard at the Tema Park. In other results, Hearts of Lions 0, Ashanti Gold 0, Sekondi Hazakes 0, Medeama 0, Liberty Professionals 1, WA All Stars 1, Brekum Chelsea 1, King Faisal 0, Bechim United 0, Amidaus 0.
Now to end the news, the main points again. The Acting Director of Public Affairs of the Electoral Commission, Christian Owusu-Pari, says the Commission will welcome any proposals from the political parties. He said this will make the electoral system more acceptable to all stakeholders. Mr. Owusu-Pari, however, kicked against calls for legal backing to the Inter-Party Advisory Committee. Mr. Owusu-Pari said this on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point. The Industrial and Commercial Workers Union has urged government policymakers and managers of the economy to urgently take steps to solve challenges confronting the industrial sector, especially the private ones. In a statement signed by its General Secretary Solomon Kote, the ICU said the situation, if not tackled with a dispatch, is likely to impact seriously on the economy. The 2012 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has expressed gratitude to executives and sympathizers of the party in the Greater Accra region for their undying support for the party during the 2012 elections and the subsequent election petition at the Supreme Court. He expressed the gratitude during a series of thank you meetings for the various roles they played in the 2012 electioneering. And the senior national football team, the Black Stars, will later today find out their opponent in the final playoffs for the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil. In all, 10 teams have qualified for the playoffs, and today's draw will see them being paired for a two-leg qualifier on a home and away basis. The news was presented by Baba Otu
and Mercy Sowah in Accra.